The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Breaking news, a train has derailed in Van Buren Township. Drone 4 overhead showing several of those cars off the tracks. It appears maybe 6 to 7 of them. It's in the area of Huron River Drive between Martinsville and Haggerty Roads.
Some coal. They also had car haulers here that were empty as we got a chance to look at them. But take a look down the track here and you can see that there are a number of rail cars there that have actually gone over on their side. There are seven actual train cars that have gone off the track.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's another just strange accident. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. It's good to be with you today. There's word of another trail derailment, this time in Michigan. Six cars have come off the tracks in Van Buren Township, about 22 miles southeast of Detroit. And one of them, well, it was carrying hazardous materials. Sounds like deja vu, doesn't it? Reports for now indicate, hey, there have been no spills, you know, that the car, carrying those hazardous materials, it's been set upright. So hopefully we won't see anything more about this. But it's strange. We were talking, Maggie and Tom and I, some of the people who are working on the show today with me, they're saying, gosh, it's so weird, isn't it? I don't know if you saw the footage of the ball bearings that were on fire. It looked like there was a problem with the one in Palestine, Ohio. But what's causing these? I don't know. Maybe it's an anomaly. Maybe it's a coincidence. The EPA has been dispatched to the scene. And we're fortunate that so far this didn't turn out to be like the one in East Palestine. For some reason, the derailment, despite all the dangers that it presents to the residents in the area, it hasn't received a whole lot of attention. And something I've been looking at, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. You know, the Media Research Center, they said that between February 4th and yesterday, check this number out, there's only been about a half hour's worth of coverage. That's it. About 30 minutes worth of coverage of the accident between three major broadcast networks. And that's despite the fact that the chemicals could have an impact on the entire Ohio River Valley. And you know, I'm an observer. I try to look at the big view, the big picture. I try to zoom out and say, well, who does it benefit and why? I don't have any explanation for it. It's not like there's a whole lot of other really pressing news other than the balloon that's getting a lot of attention, or these mysterious objects that are being shot down. But 30 minutes out of all the major networks, that to me is crazy. I don't know why. We'll see. We'll see how this story ultimately plays out and how big of a story it'll become. I'm hoping it's nothing more than that. The president, let's talk about him for a minute. He's the oldest president in our nation's history, right? Well, he's getting a physical today. And actually, it's the second one since moving into the White House. It'll be interesting to hear what the doctors have to say, especially on his cognitive function, because there's a strong case he will run for president again. And how old is he? I often think about Kamala Harris. She probably would love to see him run. You know, I mean, if something ever happened to the president, God forbid, she would easily become president of the United States. If he doesn't run, her chance of, you know, holding high office again, I don't know how great they're going to be. She barely in the primaries, you know, she had a terrible showing in those, and yet he chose her. And ultimately, now she holds the second highest office in the land. And if anything was to happen to the president, we would have, you know, Madam President Kamala Harris. And we'll see how that plays out. Maybe sometimes people rise to the occasion. There's been a great disenchantment on her ability to handle the border and a lot of other issues. Some of her inappropriate laughing at times. But it may be a Biden-Harris ticket again. And Joe Biden will certainly continue to set new records as holding that office as one of the oldest presidents. I think we'll see. I mentioned yesterday Nikki Haley threw her hat into the Republican ring, and we'll see who else gets in. It's a developing story. More to come in the days ahead. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. I don't want to spend too much time on that today. COVID vaccines, and we've kind of been pretty mute on this as well. I think we've talked about that a lot, but the CDC is gathering data, not on those who've been vaccinated. Did you hear this story? And I think this is worth you hearing about. A lot of people have not got vaccinated. Apparently, the Center for Disease and Control is gathering data on those who chose not to get the COVID vax. And this report, I saw this in the Daily Signal. They said that the CDC's adopted the use of what they're calling a revised international classification of disease, or ICD, which includes codes that say why people have turned down the vaccines. Is it a moral objection? Is it you don't like the way it was tested? Are you concerned about side effects? Now, this isn't done for any other drug. It's not done for any other procedure because drugs and procedures aren't diseases, right? Members of Congress now are demanding answers from the CDC. Hey, why are you collecting data on Americans' personal choices? And who's behind that? So in an affidavit filed in a lawsuit against New York City, plaintiffs have testified that, you know, teachers in that city who went unvaccinated against COVID, they actually had their files flagged. And their fingerprints have been sent to, guess who? The FBI. You got it. Yeah, I mean, this is it's a bizarre story. If I had a family member in New York City who says, you know, I don't want to get vaccinated because of whatever their reason is, should their files be flagged and their fingerprints sent off to the FBI and the New York State Division of Criminal Justice? Are they criminals? I mean, that should be troubling. So often, and I don't want to be an extremist or conspiracist or make too much out of certain things, but I am always concerned about not just the slippery slope, but the erosion. And erosion sometimes takes a while. You give up an inch here. It doesn't seem like much. Who cares? They're tracking why they chose not to get the vax. Or, okay, their fingerprints or their files have been flagged. Okay, it's an inch. You let that go. Then they take another inch, and then another inch, and then another inch. And before you know it, you're a foot further away. The flagging means that these teachers now have marks on their files as being problem teachers, even though they haven't been accused of any misconduct. You know what their only fault was? Refusing to get the vaccine against COVID-19 for whatever their personal reason was. So you know, the latest news is that the city has rescinded its mandate for employees to get those vaccine shots. So I'm just troubled about government overreach. I watched a documentary last night on Xi Jinping. And it was his rise to power, what he went through as a child, and now his absolute control over the people of his country. And even his influence in the world, the commentator in this particular piece, and the reason I'm saying this, I see what happens when you lose independence. He doesn't like freedom of the press. He doesn't like what America has done with that. Doesn't like that freedom of the speech. He's really clamped down on all of that, and he's gotten so much power, not only over the people of the China, but you know when Nancy Pelosi flew to Taiwan. Remember, he called Joe Biden personally and said, "Don't do that. It's going to hurt our relationships." Well, Joe Biden has no control over her. He's the head of the executive branch. She can do whatever she wants, right? But Xi Jinping doesn't see it that way because he's got complete and total control. Whatever he says goes. He doesn't need lawmakers to approve something he wants, a law, it gets approved. So I'm not saying we're China by any means. We're the greatest nation on the planet, period, right? I totally believe that. But I bring this to you just because I want you to think about it. And when you see these things, don't just say, oh, well, that's really unfortunate. Why would they do that? I mean, think about it and be careful of the erosion. Be careful of the inch being taken and then the next inch being taken. Because once your freedom, once your independence, once your liberty is eroded, once it is taken from you, it is very difficult to get that back. And I just think we need to be vigilant, raise these questions, talk about why, and explore them. And that's what I'm here to do for you every day. That's politics. Culturally, I was thinking about something else. HBO. I don't even know if you have HBO Max. They're apparently in hot water right now for a joke that they had at the expense of those who suffer from sickle cell anemia. And their show Velma, which is a spinoff from Scooby-Doo. I mean, how many of us grew up watching Scooby-Doo, right? Well, it included a joke in a recent episode that got pushback from viewers with the disease and organizations working to eradicate it. But Velma has totally remade as a lesbian. It includes all kinds of, you know, crudities, if you will, like a school principal lusting after young girls and Velma working on a stripper pole. And, you know, for those very reasons, the show is really the third worst reviewed show on the entire IMDb database. And despite that, and despite the crude nature of the show, for some reason, and I don't know why, HBO Max has inexplicably, they've ordered a second season. I'm not sure what they see in this, but I can tell you, I think what's behind it. You know, they're trying to push forward that alphabet agenda. They're trying to use the power of entertainment, like a child's cartoon, to warp, to reshape, to indoctrinate your children towards these sexual issues. And I think it's really, really problematic. There's no other explanation for it. The third worst reviewed show on the entire IMDb database, the third worst reviewed show, and you're going to throw more money at it? Who's behind that? That's what everybody should be asking. And you know, HBO should be held accountable for this, especially, you know, if I had shares in the company. You know, why are you advancing something like this, right? I don't think it's good for your bottom line. I think people are going to start abandoning it. CNN's in hot water, too. I just found this out. I didn't realize. I didn't dive into the story. I have not heard a whole lot. Jake Tapper, right? You know him? Jake Tapper's executive producer was fired because of affairs with two subordinates. Don Lemon this morning, he told to his female co-hosts that women at their prime, listen to this. This is not me. And I know people always misinterpret what's being said. I heard Drew say. No, Don Lemon. I'm quoting Don Lemon, all right, from CNN. He was in a conversation this morning with some of his co-hosts. They were females. And ladies, I'm sorry, but he says women hit their prime in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Then it's all downhill from there. I mean, how can you say that? Women hit their primes in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, all downhill from there. He said that, you know, you would believe in relation to a story about Nikki Haley, you know, running for president. Because, you know, Haley is 51. And, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, as we talked about, she threw her hat into the race for the president. She's 51. You know, she's 51. She looks great. You know, I think she looks fantastic. You know, so he made this comment that she's too old, right? She's too old. Hillary Clinton, she was, what, 69 at the time she ran against Donald Trump, if my memory serves me right. So Haley is young. She's almost 20 years younger, if you think about it. Nancy Pelosi, she's going to turn 83 years old next month. So you take a look at people who are holding high office, or at least ran. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, presidential candidate, right? We had Speaker of the House, Pelosi, 69 and 83. Haley's only 51, so Don Lemon, woo. Yeah, I don't get it. His two co-hosts didn't take too kindly to it either, so I had to give them their props. You know, they didn't like what he said, and yeah, of course they'll say stuff like, you should never say that thing about a woman. Yeah, of course you should never say something like that. But I think Lemon got the message. He tweeted out this afternoon. He says, you know, the reference I made to a woman's prime this morning, well, it was inartful and irrelevant, as colleagues and loved ones personally or professionally, you know, as colleagues have pointed out, and I regret it. Women age, their age doesn't define her personality. Let me rephrase this. A woman's age doesn't define her either personally or professionally, and I have countless women in my life who prove that every day. So he did his mea culpa. After he got lambasted, I am sure, and I wasn't just his colleagues, I guarantee you, it was probably a lot of email that came in to him saying, what are you doing, right? What are you doing? What's the matter with you, Don? Terrible thing to say. You know, I believe age is so relative. And I think as you age, you're almost like a fine wine. And I'm just talking about women and men. I think we, our attitudes are enriched. Our life experience grows deeper. Our wisdom is much more profound. We've got a perspective we never have. I think back to my early 20s and 30s, and I think about my worldview at the time and where we are now. I don't know. I think there's something very, very beautiful about age. It's a gift, too. And we've lost respect for age in this Botox-ridden, plastic surgery worshipped culture that we're in. I mean, everybody's lifting their faces. And I'm not against plastic surgery. I want to make that the case. But I think about Japan. I think about some of these countries that really respect the elderly. I want to grow old, you know? I want to grow old, and I want to do it gracefully. That's really what I want to do. So I hope you would, too. I think sometimes when we set ourselves up for these situations where we go ahead and do all this plastic surgery, you know, it looks great initially, and then women go back again and again and again, and it gets to the point where, you know, it looks quite bizarre in the end. All right, let me do this. I think I'll take a call or two, and then we can go ahead and take a break. I want to tell you about a NASCAR driver. I don't know if you follow NASCAR at all, and I'll tell you his story on the other side. His wife reached out to our show. They listened to the program about something that came across his, came across his radar. Something came across his career is the right thing to say, and he had to make a tough decision. And I have I want to share the story because I think it's absolutely fantastic. And yeah, let me go to Pete in Chicago. I think that's where he's calling from. Pete, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Drew. Hey, I had a question. You were talking a little political, and I know it's not a great topic, but hey, is Nikki Haley, is she pro-life? Because if she is, that would be sweet as could be.
You know, I don't know. I want to say yes. I do. I'm going to look into that right now. Patrick, you're on my phones. He's always a great researcher for me. He can pull that up right now. I don't want to say she is if she is not. But, I was wondering about who would run. Somebody had said that they thought that she would be a great candidate to run along with DeSantis. You know, you'd have a candidate like the two of them. Nikki Haley, here it goes. Thank you, Patrick. He just said to me, Nikki Haley opposes abortion rights, explaining that her opposition is rooted in her past difficulty to conceive children, as well as the fact that her husband's adopted. So I didn't know that. That's a great call from you, Pete. Hey, Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I mean, we'll see what happens. 51 years of age. She says she's always been underestimated in her life. And she's always somehow come out on the top and has been quite successful. So I think one of the most important things in a candidate today, more than anything else, is how moral that candidate is, and in particular, where they stand on the life issue, because so many other issues ripple from that. So many others. I didn't realize her husband was adopted, and I am delighted to see that. You know, infertility is a big issue. I was talking about sperm the other day, motility, and how male sperm rates are dropping. We lost fertility has dropped 50% in 46 years. A little later in the in the week, or maybe next week, I do want to talk more about that. And you're going to find more people like Nikki and others who would love to have a child but just can't. And when you find yourself in that situation, well, suddenly your perspective on life, I think, radically changes. I think you realize that life is not a privilege. It's not a right that you have, but it's a gift. Just as a side note on Nikki Haley, one thing I do know about her, she's never lost an election. She's never lost an election. So we'll see what happens. Is she going to be president? Will she be a VP? Or does she not have the traction? Will her record be broken? The world of politics lies ahead of us. I'll talk much more about it, I'm sure, in the days ahead. I'm sure you probably don't want to hear it right now. But I do want to share with you the story of this NASCAR driver. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I actually met him and his wife. I was giving a talk one night, and they are such a beautiful couple. They sat at the table right next to me, and I had a chance to connect with him. And you might remember, I don't know how much you know about Johnny Salter and his faith. We spoke about him a couple years ago. I think it was in 2017. He won a really big race, and when the race was over, he gave credit to the Blessed Mother and to the Sacred Heart of Jesus for his victory. And when I see that, I'm like, bravo. I'll fill you in on his story. Let me tell you what he just walked away from, and I'd like to hear your experience too. Short break. I'll be back with more right after this.
Your news. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Your news now.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. Oh no, I got to
This is the Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, the chaplain's coming up in about a half an hour. Hope you'll join me for that. Send somebody a text, an email. Give them a call if they have a special prayer need. We'll get our spiritual family together and pray. I want to give you an early heads up for that. It's always a delight to do that. And I want to pray for those who are challenged in particular today with moral decisions, maybe to keep the child, maybe to be honest on their taxes, maybe to get out of that infidelity, or maybe even to sacrifice financially when compromised, when their conscience is challenged. I want to share with you the story of a man, and I want your calls too. I want to hear from you. I mean, you might have gone through this as well. I'm going to give you the number here. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. When your job requires immoral work, or, you know, would you quit your job on principle? Would you quit your job on principle? What do you do when your job interferes with your integrity? Maybe you're a pharmacist and you're in that situation right now, and somebody's saying, "Hey, well, you're going to have to, you know, fulfill these abortifacient prescriptions." You know, maybe you're working for a financial company. You know they're not quite honest with what they're doing. The numbers are being fudged a little bit, or there's some false advertising with the company you work with, or maybe there's something else that's going on that's illicit or immoral. Are you willing to walk away from your paycheck, maybe even your job, over something like that? I'd love to hear your story. You can join me, 888-914-9149. I'll tell you the story of a man who I just have a lot of respect for. And Courtney, if you're listening, I just want to send a shout out to you as well. Delighted you brought this to my attention. I had the opportunity to meet Johnny and Courtney Salter at an event I was speaking at a couple years ago. And I remember Johnny's story. I remember his devotion to his faith. He's a very successful NASCAR driver. And he's a man that has displayed great moral courage and a deep love of his faith. I don't know how many people follow NASCAR. I know it's very big in the South and different parts of the country. It's extremely popular in certain parts of the country. And Johnny Salter is extremely well known. He's considered one of the top drivers on the circuit. But there's more to him than just driving. Anytime he has won a race, he's credited the Sacred Heart of Jesus and he's credited the Immaculate Heart of Mary on national television. He's been a very faithful Catholic his whole life, and that's just who he is. He allows his Catholic faith, it's integrated into who he is, right? I mean, that's as simple as I could probably say that. And he's not ashamed to go ahead and to voice that. So he's getting up there. He's slowed down on the whole racing business, but he was recently asked to race in a truck as a lead up to the Daytona 500, and he agreed to do that. And when drivers agree to a race, whoever owns the vehicle will send the mock-up of that vehicle showing, you know, what the what's going to look like. And when Johnny got the mock-up, he knew immediately that he could not race this vehicle. And the reason is that the sponsor for the vehicle was a website. You know what the website was? Divorce.com. That was it. Sponsor for that vehicle was divorce.com. They're going to wrap the vehicle in that. And it'd be plastered all over the truck that he'd be driving. So on top of that, the tagline reads, "Simple divorce does exist." Divorce.com, right? So in a phone call with Johnny earlier, he told us that as soon as he saw it, he just knew he couldn't drive it. And he told the owner that, "Look, I can't be raising my kids as Catholics and telling them that divorce is wrong, and then go driving a truck telling everyone that simple divorce does exist. I can't do that." Because you know what? He's using a celebrity. He's using his history as a winning driver, right, to promote something that he does not believe in. Now, here's the thing, and I don't mean any disrespect by this. He's a young man still, but he's getting towards maybe the sunset or the twilight of his career, and he walked away from a chance to be in the spotlight once again. He walked away from a very nice sum of money. And when we talked with him, he said, "It's no big deal. It was the obvious thing to do," he said. It's the obvious thing to do. So we said, look, come on the air. Come on the air with us. And he says, no, I don't want to do that. I can't, because he's concerned about his teammates. He knew that he had to make this decision, but at the same time, yeah, he didn't want to jeopardize future opportunities for his teammates. So he's a noble and honorable man. I just want to say, hey, bravo to you. It may have been a simple decision for him, but for a lot of other people, it wouldn't be that simple. You know, this was a simple decision, maybe to him. His parents raised him with the truth. He's been living that truth. He's been living a life where making a decision like that has become a good habit, right? He is in the habit of even willing to sacrifice in order to do what is right, and that is a good thing. You know, I said to my one of my producers this morning, I said, you know, it'd be really a difficult situation for me. I said, imagine if Relevant Radio suddenly started taking ads and they were promoting things that I thought I can't be part of, or somehow the programming went in a direction that I thought, I don't think that's right. What would I do? You know, what would I do? And the moral thing, the right thing, would be to try to change it internally. And if I couldn't, then I'd have to walk away from the microphone, which I love. I believe God put me here. I believe he put me here to be with you, to share my afternoons with you. And that would be very, very difficult to do. And I think of others who feel the same way. You might be passionate about your job. I mean, Johnny joins the ranks of people like pharmacists who've been fired because, look, they're saying, I'm not going to dispense birth control. I'm not going to dispense these abortifacient drugs. I'm not going to do it. All the study, all the work, right? All the sacrifice that goes into getting that job and to walk away when the economy's difficult. That's a tough thing to do. I'd love to hear your story. Maybe you've done it. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. Maybe you've heard of somebody else who's done the same thing. You know, I think Johnny joins the ranks of many people who refuse to get the COVID vaccine because they just, in a moral and conscientious objection, said, I really can't take the drug that was tested on or even made with aborted fetal cells. I don't care how far back that abortion was done. I understand that the church has said that, you know, we can take this, but conscientiously, I just can't do it. Yeah, and you know what? They've lost their jobs. How many people have been kicked out of the military? I think of Dr. Aaron Cariotti. I think of so many people who've lost their jobs to saying no to the vaccines. There's a lot. Of course, there are a lot of people who face these kind of moral decisions in their jobs every day. And it's tough. You might have to face this one day. I don't know. You never think you do. A friend of mine who was a bishop once said, Drew, hold on to everything very lightly. Hold on to very, very lightly. You never know when God's going to take it from you. And it's true. You might be challenged morally. The great problem is that it may not be so cut and dried. It was pretty cut and dried for Johnny. But if you need money, it takes a lot to say, no, I can't walk away from this job. And to either walk away or get fired, you're faced with a moral dilemma. And that's really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to placing your trust in God. If you're trying to feed your family, if you're trying to pay your rent, trying to pay your mortgage, trying to make that next car payment, are you willing to risk all of that for a higher good? It's a tough decision. I pray that I'm never put to that test. Vic is listening to us in Northwest Indiana. Vic, thanks for joining the conversation. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. Good afternoon to you. Go right ahead.
Hey, it's a kind of a little bit fictitious, if that's even the right word, because most of the big corporations and small businesses do a lot of what's legal but not moral things. For example, cheating on the taxes. Right. You know, there a lot of them are tax exempt, so they don't do that. So if we all quit our jobs from companies that are immoral, or that do, you know, they're not, they do things that are legal, but they're not moral. Mm-hmm. How are we going to support the church?
Right. Well, it's an interesting call. What you have to do is two things. One, I think you have to voice your concern regarding what's happening within the organization and make sure that they do the moral thing. And then the next thing you got to do is decide whether or not, you know, you're willing to do that. I mean, sometimes a company will do something that is not necessarily illegal, but it might be somewhat immoral, and that's wherein lies the rub. You also have a duty to support your family and to make sure that that they're taken care of. But I was having this conversation earlier, Vic, with somebody, and I said, you know, the thing is, I'll give you the Relevant Radio example. If Relevant Radio put me in that position, do you walk away immediately? Do you compromise everyone who depends on you? Maybe if somebody who's sick, who needs medication or special care, what do you do? That's when the situation becomes even more difficult. I think you need to aggressively look for another position and then leave the company when you're in a position to do that. But I think maybe try to change things internally. You know what this is called? And I was just thinking, Johnny and his willingness to walk away from money and the rest of this. God rewards sacrifice, right? This is also, this is a modern day martyrdom. That's what this is. This is a modern day martyrdom. And we think of the martyrdom as being the spilling of the blood. Yeah, and there's no question. The third century church father Tertullian, he wrote something. I know you've heard this before. You know, you ever heard the statement, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of faith? Tertullian, he wrote that he lived during one of the most violent periods of Roman persecution. And what he noticed was that paradoxically, the more Christians died for the faith, the more their numbers grew. And the astonishing courage, the love that they were shown by the early martyrs inspired many pagan Romans to embrace Christianity. And I think the same thing holds true in our own day. This is called a financial martyrdom. You may not be asked to spill your blood, but can you imagine the witness that you'll have as that pharmacist saying, I'm not going to do this, and maybe getting fired or losing your job? Or working that financial company and saying, hey, we can't continue to invest in X, Y, and Z because of this, or that politician, you know, or that radio broadcaster, whoever it might be. I mean, those are martyrdoms. And I think you may not spill your blood, but your witness will have that same paradoxical effect. And I think you'll draw souls to Christ. There'll be something about it. You know what the word martyr means? It means witness. And when a martyr gives his life, when he sacrifices, right, it's a testimony to your love and your belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And this has been such a central element of our spirituality, the church's spirituality, since her foundation. I think the first 200 years, 300 years, every pope was martyred. You know, you think about all the apostles, those who were so close to Christ, with the exception of John, martyred. There have been martyrs in every age, including our own. Maggie and I were just talking about those gentlemen who had their throats slit on the beach in Libya. I think it was back in 2017. I can't believe how, you know, it's been that fast already. I mean, time has just flown. So you see people laying down their life today. But I think you and I might be called to a little bit of a different martyrdom. And the little martyrdoms of this life, they build up to heaven, and I'll tell you why. But there was an off-air caller that came in and said his nephew walked away from his job as a cyber intelligence agent, analyst, because he wouldn't take the vaccine. And this person also said, I walked away from a government job because they were taking a look at our medical records. So, look, it goes on, you know, in every occupation, I think. There's always these moral challenges. But martyrdom is a powerful gift. And I'll just lay this before you today as we talk about Johnny. And Johnny, I'm so grateful for your witness because I think grace comes from our sacrifice. And grace, the grace of martyrdom, I think is a pathway to eternity. And when you walk on this earth, you know, we're given a small window of time. You might only live a few decades. You might only have a few days left. I don't know what God's plan is for us. But in some respects, we are all martyrs. We all suffer in some respects, little martyrdoms. And they come to you every day, right? They come to you in the normal course of life. And by the end of life, if you embrace these hardships, these trials, these difficulties, I'm telling you, they're going to add up to something more substantial than you can ever imagine, right? They'll make you a saint. So I just want to say to yourself, don't sell yourself short. Don't do it. There are little martyrdoms in how you handle other people. There are little martyrdoms in avoiding temptation, right? Sacrifice that. There are martyrdoms in forgiving and turning the other cheek. There are martyrdoms of patience, that person that drives you crazy. There are martyrdoms of endurance, right? The endurance of martyrdom. Maybe not getting angry. It can be a martyrdom when somebody's rude to you. There are little martyrdoms of pain, not complaining. It could be such a key to growing holiness and growing in holiness and diminishing grace. So, let me go to Mary in Minnesota. She's been waiting to join us too. Mary, good afternoon. It's good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. How can I help you?
I just want to say this is something that I have had to deal with on a personal basis lately more and more. I teach children, and a lot of them have come to my place of work claiming to be transgender, or their parents will say they're transgender and ask me to call them they or give them a different name. And it's very difficult. I don't believe in doing that, and I haven't done that, but it keeps kind of coming more and more to the surface. So it's something that I really have to decide on what I'm going to do.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I continue to do what I have been, is following the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And I love the children, but I don't support what their parents or what they are doing.
Yeah, you know, if I was, and again, I'm not in your situation, dealing with parents is a whole other thing, but I think speaking truth sometimes is a greater love than capitulating to whatever the cultural norm may be. And, you know, I would call
them, and that's exactly what I do. Yeah.
I would call them by their name. I mean, they may want to be they, them, whatever. I say, look, because look, they want you to tolerate. They want you to accept and tolerate their position, but that's a two-way road, right? I mean, shouldn't they tolerate and accept your position as well and say, hey, look, I'd rather just call you by your name, Tim, Mary, whatever it might be. So, Mary, stay the course. I think we need more people not to buy into this this cultural craziness, right, and capitulate out of a spirit of trying to be tolerant and accepting and speak truth and do it with love. And if we do that, it could be a martyrdom for you because, you know, his parents might get mad. The school might give you a difficulty, you know, but I think you're being a witness
for
truth.
Pray for me and all of us that have to deal with this. Thank you.
I promise I'll do that, Mary. You got my prayers. And we'll be praying the chaplet coming up here in about 15, 16 minutes as well. So, look, let me take a short break. When I come back, I'll take a few more calls. If I have time, I don't know if I have time right now. There's a great story I once heard, speaking of race car driving, of how divine mercy played a big role in saving a life. That and more coming up right after this. Stay with me. Hey, do you like Italian food? Well, you know I do. And this September, I'm heading to Italy. Why not join me where we'll dine, wine, and see the divine? I'm leading Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Pilgrimage with sponsor Nativity Pilgrimage. Seats are limited. That's relevantradio.com/Italy.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up next.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll pray. Highlight of my broadcast. If you have somebody who really is in a difficult way, why not join us today? The number for the Chaplet, of course, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Give somebody a quick call, text, email, say, hey, let's pray together today. We'll pray for that answered prayer that we hope God will give us. All right, that's coming up in just a moment. If you are joining me, I received a call from the wife of a, or an email from a wife of a NASCAR driver, a guy named Johnny Salter, and he was scheduled to participate in the NASCAR truck race this Friday leading up to the Daytona 500 on Sunday. And just a little background, he actually won that race three times, more than any other driver, including Kyle Busch. And when he found out that the car he had to drive was going to be wrapped with something he objected to, a message that said simple divorce does exist and was a plug for a divorce website, He chose to walk away from he chose to walk away from money and from the opportunity once again to do this. His wife said this to us. He says, you know, in a world where people accept this new culture of disposable marriages, my husband stood up for marriage. At this point, I'll be on the mission to find him a sponsor that promotes marriage and the beautiful sacrament of it. I'm so proud to be married to a man that believes in the value of marriage more than the opportunity to put another trophy on the shelf by running this race. My husband, Johnny Salter, is a true witness to Christ. So I am just so glad that you reached out to me, Courtney. I'm so proud of you and your husband. And I'm sorry he won't win another race. I'm sorry that he's walking away from this. But thank you for the souls that you're reaching by your witness. We had a call a moment ago, too, from a woman named Mary. And Maggie and I were talking during the break. Mary was in Minnesota, and she's in an environment where she's being asked to to change pronouns, to identify people, if it's a male, as a she or a they, and not call people by their name. And it's a moral challenge to her, and she has not been doing it. Maggie, you just shared with me, you came across a powerful video that's a perfect rebuttal to this. What'd you find?
Yeah, you know, this went viral yesterday, and Mary's call made me think of it, and so I found it quick during break. This really is a toolbox for anyone out there who is struggling with this issue in their own family, in their own community. I saw this video shared countless times yesterday, and it said the perfect response to this, gender confusion that's going on. So it's a TikTok video of a young woman in her dorm room at college. She's a beautiful young gal. She's got her hair cut short and kind of a mullet. And she's crying, and she's saying that when she goes home for Christmas, she had asked her parents to refer to her as Mike. Yeah. And so then she gets a response from her grandmother. Her grandmother writes her a letter. So let me play this here for you. I think you're going to find it really inspiring.
Can't wait.
Hi. So recently I texted my parents because I'm going to go home for Christmas. And I said, hey, do you mind calling me Mike when I come back for Christmas? And then when I got home today, I got this letter from my grandma. And it is addressed to Miss Old Name. Not actually, but, you know, I don't want to say my real name on the internet. Dearest Dead Name. On this, our Blessed Mother's feast day, I am writing to tell you that I will not address you as Mike. My decision is probably not a surprise to you. Others may comply with your request. My anguish in your chosen name and what that means has to do with your eternal soul. Know that I love you more than words could ever possibly convey to you. No matter how you decide to identify yourself does not change my deep love for you, honey. Because of my concerns for your soul and your mental health, I am spending more time with Jesus in adoration. My cousin's last names are doing the same for you. Then she lists my 5 cousins that are below the age of 10 who are apparently offering up special personal sacrifices for me, who I didn't tell that I wanted to go by Mike. I didn't want to. I haven't talked with your godmother and her family, but I'm sure they would do the same for you. Do you know how much you are cherished and loved? It would be a joy to see you and be with you during the coming Christmas a celebration of our Lord's birth. Hi, so...
Wow. Maggie, what's been the response on social media to that?
Well, it is interesting because I've seen countless conservative outlets playing it, whether they're Catholic or not, saying, like, bravo to this grandmother for speaking truth in love. Like, yeah. What a great example of truth in love. Plenty of other people saying, how condescending. How many times does she say, I'm praying for you, which is basically, you know, like, super condescending to someone.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so funny that they take prayer as that. They must know the power of prayer. Yeah. I think that's why they hate it.
I love it. Wow. Maybe you could post that online too. If somebody wants to share that with somebody else, I think that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I'll retweet it.
Such a great such a great response. And you know, it's difficult because we love our family, right? We love our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our siblings. But, you know, we live in a time, going back to what we said a few moments ago, where you have to speak truth and you have to do it with love. And believe me, people appreciate it. I remember I received a phone call in the area. We're talking about infidelity or cohabitation. A woman called and said, I remember I was living with my boyfriend and my mother, she would not come over to the house. She would not come over at all. And she says, I'm not going to do it whatsoever. But I thought she was angry. I didn't talk to her. I mean, they had this, you know, it can create a division. But she says eventually she left that guy that she was living with. And she moved back home, and it was the greatest thing that her mother ever did. It was a witness to truth. I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, my son and daughter are living together. What the heck? You know, maybe they'll get married. They love one another. We make excuses for the behaviors of our kids. As parents, and look, we're all guilty of this. I'm just as guilty. You have to constantly speak the truth. You got to do it with love. You have to let them know where you stand on these issues. And of course, I know we want to keep the relationship strong. You don't want to break the bridge because you definitely want a dialogue. But I love what that grandmother did. And I just want to challenge you in a loving way to speak truth, to make sure that your child or your loved one knows the truth and where they stand on all these issues. We'll go to the phones, take another call. We'll go to Frisco, Texas next. Kathleen, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. This is Kathleen, and I just wanted to add a question and a comment. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. One, the question is, I was at a large department store yesterday and getting something, and I looked up and I saw CVS, and it's in the department store. And I just got so rattled, and I thought, oh, darn. You know, I can pick another department store, but I thought, oh, should I say something? You know, I know maybe CVS hasn't decided about the Board of Patients yet. Right. But I just thought, ugh. And I thought, no, don't speak in anger, wait and pray and think about what. So I guess my question to you is, what is the most effective way we can stand up for our faith and stand up for the unborn and women in when we are confronted? I mean, I can just not go to CVS, but when I go to a major department store, do people really realize when they support that giant store, they're also supporting and agreeing with CVS's policy?
No, I agree. A couple things that come immediately to mind. I mean, one, I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of boycotts personally. Like, I'm not going to shop here again. Unless you let the person know, but you not showing up is not going to have that big of an impact. But if you stop shopping there, but at the same time you write to management or you write to corporate headquarters and saying, hey, I found this objectionable and here are the reasons why. Please change this and I'm not going to shop until I see this change. Then you've done something about conscientiously objecting. The other thing, too, is to spread the word. I would use my social media platforms or whatever platform you might have, even a small circle of friends or, you know, your parish, whatever, and let people know your concern as well. And then third and finally, of course, you got to pray because we live in a strange time, don't we? We have to pray that God will somehow either change the leadership there or convert the hearts or bring truth to this culture because, man, it's like I often say we're stepping in quicksand and we just keep sinking deeper and deeper. And this stuff's becoming more and more accepted. And next thing you know, we're going to be choking on that sand. So it's crazy. But I appreciate you at least, you know, being aware of that because I'm the same way. It's almost impossible. You can go to Home Depot or to any store. And if you do your research, there's some connection to something that you're going to say, I shouldn't shop here, right? So it's tough. Yeah. It is tough.
Yeah. And I have one other quick comment.
Sure.
I'm a youth facilitator in a large youth group in our Catholic church. And we had a panel, and one of the panel speakers was a pediatrician, and he spoke about how to address, because our group, the leaders, want to know how to address someone that brings up a teen that brings up that their ideas of being trans. And he said it was beautiful. He said, he just speaks to them about their dignity, about the love that God has for them. And he also, I thought was very powerful. He said, listen for their underlying circumstances. So much is it's the world's way of getting them coping. They really are dealing with depression or anxiety or abuse. There's really some reason that they're rejecting them. You know, and they're in stress, and the world gives them, oh, you know, God made a mistake. This is the way to go. Try trans. And I think it was so powerful because he said he really listened to this young girl and spoke to her, not about telling her it was wrong what she was thinking, but acknowledged that she's loved and she's respected and that she was made in God's image. And a year later, she came back with long, beautiful hair and her nails done. And was accepted her femininity and said, thank you. and was grateful. So I just thought if people are listening to the hurting child's heart, that they may be able to help them and lead them to God and to peace in their hearts.
Yeah. Kathleen, that's so well said, and I'm so grateful for your call. Thank you for dialing in, and I think that is a perfect way to wrap up this particular conversation. And maybe you've got somebody in your life who's going through this. I know you might. Speaking about the dignity of the person, what they were created for, their inherent beauty, and to what she said, so often beneath the surface of these actions are deep wounds. Deep, deep wounds, and they're the result of rejection or abuse or some sort of other trauma. And we need to pray for the healing of that individual as well. I got to take a short pause. When we come back, we will dive into the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Bishop Cousins is going to be joining me a little bit later. And I got to tell you about an experience I had with this new AI. I asked it a question about me and my show. Wait till you hear what it said. I'll fill you in on that and a whole lot more. Don't go away.